You probably remember the story about the woman who started her own religion. And this woman who started her own religion said that only she and her secretary, Mary, are saved. So this news got around, and a reporter went over to the house, and they said, "You started your own religion?" "Yep." "And only you and your secretary, Mary, are going to be saved?" "Well, I'm not too sure about Mary." In the gospel, there's a smugness about this man who's asking the question, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And kind of what's implied here is like, I know I'm saved. Do you think anybody else is going to be saved? And Jesus said, "Are you kidding? Why are you trying to limit God? Why are you trying to limit God's guest list? People are going to come from the east and the west, the north and the south. Everybody's going to come and recline at God's table." So a lot of people today try to limit God. God is so big, but we try to make God narrow. We limit God's guest list. For example, we hear today a lot about white supremacy. That's the belief that white people are superior to people of color. A white man recently targeted Latinos in the El Paso shooting. A white man targeted Muslims in a New Zealand mosque. A white man targeted Jews in a Pittsburgh temple. And 400 years ago this week, August 1619, white supremacists committed the worst crime of all. They brought 30 enslaved Africans to Port Comfort, Virginia, in the Chesapeake Bay. It was the beginning of 250 years of nightmare, cruel and inhuman slavery. Enslaved people, as you probably know, even built the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. The slave owners were paid $54 a month for each one of their enslaved people that worked. And of course, the enslaved people got zero. Slavery is America's original sin. And ever since then, 400 years ago, anti-black racism has run in America's DNA. For centuries, white Americans have been trying to solve the Negro problem. Blacks have never been the problem. On the contrary, they have been the solution. When enslaved Americans heard the words of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, that all men are created equal, they knew that Thomas Jefferson did not mean them. It was only for white men, not enslaved black men. But fortunately, they believed those words. They knew it was true that all are created equal. They knew it, and they never forgot it. It was embedded deeply in their hearts. And through centuries of resistance and protest, the black community helped the United States live up to its ideals. In the 19th century, they produced spiritual giants like Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, and Frederick Douglass. In the 20th century, they produced people like Rosa Parks and the greatest American prophet in American history, Martin Luther King. And this Wednesday is his anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. The black struggle for equality had a huge impact on American history because the black struggle for equality paved the way for other struggles. And soon after the civil rights movement, there followed women's rights, gay rights, immigrant rights, disability rights, but it all started with civil rights. The black people started it. So without the black struggle, our democracy might not be a democracy at all. So, in conclusion, the black people who came here 400 years ago in 1619, of August 1619, them, along with Washington and Jefferson, are really America's true founding fathers. If the gospel were written today, it might read something like this. One day, a white supremacist asked Jesus, "Lord, will only the white people be saved?" And Jesus would say, "Are you kidding? People are going to come to God's banquet from the east and the west, the north and the south, from the east and the west, from Asia and the Middle East. They'll come from the north and the south, from Europe and Africa, North America, Latin America, because God loves diversity." Or perhaps if the gospel were written today, it might read like this. One day a member of ISIS asked Jesus, Lord, will only our kind of Muslims be saved and all those infidels perish? And Jesus would answer the same way. Are you kidding? God's table is going to be filled with people from everywhere, from the east and the west, the north and the south, because God loves diversity. Last February, there was an extremely unusual meeting, very important meeting that was held in the Middle East. Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Ashar met together. They met in Abu Dhabi, one of the most diverse cities in the world. And these two spiritual leaders, the Pope and the Grand Imam, agreed that God loves diversity. And here's what they wrote. The diversity of religions, color, sex, race, and language are willed by God. In God's wisdom, this is how God created human beings. Let me repeat that because it's really important. The diversity of religions is willed by God. Now, the Pope is one of the signers of this. Many of us grew up hearing the opposite. Outside the church, there is no salvation. Did you ever hear that? Okay, that's what we got years ago. Now this is the same church, the Pope saying, the diversity of religion is willed by God. So the Pope from Argentina in South America and the Grand Imam from Egypt in Africa, meeting in the Middle East, issued this historic document of peace, freedom, anti-terrorism, and women's rights. And they wrote at the end, we hope this document will become a sign of closeness between East and West, North and South. Almost exactly word for word what Jesus was saying, that people will gather at the table from East and West, North and South. So why are we always trying to limit God? God is so big. We're trying to limit God's guest list. Simon the Pharisee didn't want Jesus to share the table with a woman of ill repute. The brother of the prodigal son didn't want the father to throw a meal for his wayward brother. The Pharisees didn't want Jesus to eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. This is a theme in Luke's gospel, that certain people complain when God's mercy is extended to people that they consider undeserving. And the same thing happens today, doesn't it? Some people complain when God's love and mercy is extended to people that they don't consider worthy and deserving. I have a friend, Bill Droll, who lives in Chicago, and one day he was collecting money for the March of Dimes, and he was doing it at the corner of Kedzie and 55th in the south side of Chicago. Very busy intersection. And there's an unwritten rule for street hustlers like this that when you're getting money, that when the light turns red, you go out and you hustle the cars. When it turns green, you step back on the curb. Well, as he was doing this, a homeless lady comes, and she's got a big bag, and she's ignoring the rules. She's out there, green light, red light. She's out there, traffic is whizzing by, and she's cleaning up. She is getting all kinds of money. This irritated my friend Bill. She's making more money than he is. And he says to her, lady, you shouldn't really be out there when it's green, you know? Get back on the curb where it's safe. And she goes, ah, Sonny, relax. This street is big enough for both of us. The mystic Hafiz said, God only knows four words, and he keeps repeating them, saying, come, dance with me. Come, dance with me. Come, dance with me. Every March, we have a prison outreach fundraiser at the Harrow East Ballroom. Every time a woman from Jennifer House gets up there and testifies how the prison ministry has changed her life, a man from Nielsen House gets up there, says the same thing, my life has turned around because of this ministry. And after that, the DJ lets loose with loud, thumping music, and everybody gets on the dance floor, everybody. The rich, the poor, the young and the old, gay and straight, black and white, Latinx and Anglo, Christian and Muslim, post-grad and high school dropout, professional and prostitute, felon and free, everybody's out there dancing. And suppose somebody came up during the dance to Jesus and said, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And Jesus would give them that puzzled look and point to the music and say, "Come dance with me."